Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Matthew, chapter 19. Yes, I realize that we are living in some interesting times, and a lot of things, I must admit, surprised me. I went to the Sterling Heights Library yesterday, and a big old sign greeted me saying, closed through March 31st. And I thought to myself, what? And so then I went over to the Clinton Macomb Library, and thank you who pay taxes in Clinton and Macomb so that we can have that nice library over there. And I found out that I was going to be one of the last patrons because they're closing to the beginning of April. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not sure I totally understand everything that's happening. My neighbors across the street go to one of the larger churches in the area, and I walked over yesterday and we were talking, and I said, what is your church doing? And he told me that their pastor called the governor and asked the governor, is there any way that our church can still meet? And she said, no. Now, I'll be glad to tell you that I'm glad that we can meet, though I must admit I wish we were really close to that limit. Yes. But let's pray that the Lord's will is done during this time. And let's pray that we will soon not have to worry about any virus infection, or should I say for this particular virus and infection. But if you would, let us stand together. Did I tell you Matthew chapter 19? And we'll begin reading at verse 30, the last verse of that chapter. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Dear Heavenly Father, we come asking your hand of protection upon us this morning as we proclaim your truth. Lord, we ask that you would bless the mission of the Covenant Baptist Church. And Lord, we pray that we will be found faithfully serving you when you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We do not want to make anybody feel uncomfortable about either shaking hands or not shaking hands. But the Bible tells us about greeting one another with a holy kiss. Let's not go there. Since the beginning of the Covenant Baptist Church, we have had members that were not only faithful in attendance, but made the work of the church possible through their prayers. May I say this? We need prayer warriors at the Covenant Baptist Church. Amen, Pastor. Say that again. What the Covenant Baptist Church needs is prayer warriors. And I'll be honest with you, when Mrs. Weinberger passed away, it was a burden on my heart because I knew what we were missing or going to be losing. And down through the years, the Covenant Baptist Church has had those that you could count on to pray. We thank those who through the years have given their tithes and offerings, because without your tithes and offerings, we would not be meeting in these buildings that we have now. We would still be over at the Wiley Elementary School meeting in their gym. But because of the tithes and offerings of believers, this church is what it is. We are thankful for those who have served as deacons and or trustees. We thank those who have taught Sunday school classes and VBS classes and church classes. For those that have helped in the nursery, thank you, thank you, thank you for those who have helped in the nursery. Thank you for those who have played the piano and organ. We thank for you, those who sing in the choir, who take the offering, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because I'll be honest with you, I could not do everything, correct? Okay. Tuesday, I received a phone call from the former pastor of the Liberty Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio, Reverend Rick Rust. And he says it's spelled like the corrosion. Rust. Brother Rust now works with a church planting ministry. And he began his conversation by saying that he was sitting in the garage getting a haircut when the man cutting his hair wanted to know if he knew Pastor Paul Madonna. Brother Rick said he was astonished that this man knew me. I don't know why he would think that. And I said, "Is it Jim Taylor?" And he replied, "Yes." He said on the previous Sunday morning, he had walked into the church to give his presentation, and Jim welcomed him to the church, gave him a church pin, and asked him if he needed a haircut. Jim was a greeter here at the Covenant Baptist Church for a number of years, and now he is doing the same in Texas, where he continues that ministry. And some of you may remember Jim Taylor, that not only did he work for the Chrysler Corporation, he cut hair on the side, and he cut my hair many times in the kitchen downstairs in the basement. What was nice is he never charged me a penny. I know that what it's like to step out of your comfort zone to be a greeter, or to step out of your comfort zone and teach a class, or step out of your comfort zone and tithe and give an offering. I understand those things. But the Bible tells us, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Simply put, there are some of you that are here right now that do more than those who were the first members of the Covenant Baptist Church. Yet at the same time, as my dad would say, and you may notice that my dad is not here because where he is living there at Clinton Creek, he is under lockdown. And what that means is we can't go and get him and he can't leave. So I am wondering what he's thinking about today, because when you have dementia like he has, what you tell him now, he won't remember in just a few minutes. But my dad would say, if it wasn't for the blood, sweat, and tears of many of the early members, this church would not be here. And I ask you the question, what are you willing to do to help this church survive another 10, 15, or 20 years? How many of you have read about the closure of a large furniture store here in the area? Art Van has been around for quite a while. I believe it started in East Point, which I think was East Detroit then. It's now East Point now, and has grown. And from what I read, they had about 100 stores, and they're closing their doors. You're saying, "Well, Pastor Paul, what does that mean? That just because something is here today doesn't mean it's going to be here tomorrow." And so what are you going to do to make sure that this church continues another 10 or 15 or 20 years? Jesus in his parable says, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" We sing the song, "Work for the night is coming, when man's work is done." You have probably heard this said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You like to remember things from the past? Hello? Yes. My dad says that if you were alive on the day that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, that you never forget where you were when you heard the news. The same is when President Kennedy was assassinated. I wasn't around for Pearl Harbor, but I do remember getting on the school bus there at Auburn Shire Elementary and the bus driver saying that the President of the United States had been assassinated. And I have never forgotten. Some of you remember when you heard the news that the space shuttle Challenger had exploded. I was here at the church and Doug Reach came in from lunch and he said, "Have you heard the news?" And I said, "No." And he said, "The shuttle has exploded." And we thought, whoa. And then probably all of us can remember when 9/11 came, and we remember what we were doing when we heard first that one tower had fallen, and then later when the other tower had fallen. And for some of us, we weren't anywhere near home, and we were wondering if we were going to be able to get home. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you remember what happened on February 22nd, 1980? Now, for some of you, you weren't alive in 1980. Sometimes I wish I hadn't been alive in 1980. That would make me what? Younger. Younger. Can you believe this? Next year, 2021, I would have graduated from high school 50 years ago. Does that make some of you feel old? Makes me feel old. Good night. Some called them the best hockey team in history. They skated onto the ice in Lake Placid in their red uniforms. They were known as the Red Army, and they played for the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union had won hockey gold in 1964, 1968, 1972, and 1976, and they were the odd-on favorites to win the gold in the 1980 Olympics. Just 5 months before the Olympics, the Red Army had defeated the NHL All-Stars, the best of North American professional hockey players, in an exhibition game 6-0. And I remember watching that game, getting angry at the NHL players. Of note, the Soviet team had not lost an Olympic game in 12 years. The average age of the U.S. player that would play that day was 21, while for the Russians it was 27, and they had players that had played for 15 years or more. Then Vice President Mondale said the Soviets were professionals, while our guys were just a bunch of college kids. The U.S. hockey team began by playing the team from Sweden. And with just 27 seconds left in the game and down 2-1, some say they scored their most important goal as they tied the score at 2-2. There were no overtimes. Their next opponent was the Czechs, who many believed was the only team capable of beating the Soviet Union, but the U.S. team won again. They then beat the teams from Norway, Romania, and West Germany. And this set a match with the Russians in the semifinal game. Meanwhile, the Soviet team was crushing their opponents. They beat Japan 16-0. They beat the Netherlands 17-4. And so the USA versus the USSR would play, and the winner would go to play for the gold. The loser would play for the bronze. Thus, the Russians were in their red uniforms and the USA team was in the red, white, and blue. The Zamboni driver, you know what a Zamboni driver is? Anybody not know what a Zamboni driver is? Some of you, they're the ones that make the ice nice and smooth so they can play in a nice flat surface. The Zamboni driver is quoted as saying, "I came out and did the ice right up to the minute the game started. The whole crowd was standing chanting, 'USA!' You could actually feel the building vibrate." The goalie for Team USA was Jim Craig. And he said the plan was to attack them at their own game, which was speed. For most teams, the Russians were so fast and so well conditioned that after the first 10 minutes, they knew they could not skate with them, so they would try to defend instead of attack. Coach Herb Brooks' whole strategy was that we would be the best conditioned athletes. We were going to attack the whole game. The first period ended with Mark Johnson scoring with 1 second left in the first period to tie the score at 2-2. Midway through the third period, with less than 15 minutes to play, the Russians were ahead by 3-2. And then the miracle began. With 12 minutes left in the game, Mark Johnson scored his second goal to make it 3-3. With 10 minutes left, team captain Eruzione, who would never play a hockey or play for a hockey team again following the Olympics, was sent a pass from Mark Pavlich. Mike moved the puck down the ice toward the Russian goalie. As a Soviet defensive player moved toward him, Mike thought he would use him as a screen so that the goalie wouldn't be able to see the puck. He shot the puck knowing it would be a goal, and it was. And the score was now the USA 4, the Soviets 3. For 10 minutes, the Russians threw everything they had left at the young American team. And with 5 seconds left, Al Michaels left his mark in history with the statement, "Do you believe in miracles?" Yes. And if you were alive at that time, and probably if you even didn't care for hockey, it probably thrilled your heart that the United States had beaten those guys from Russia. Many believe that if the two teams were to play 100 games against each other, the Soviets would have won 99. But this was the only one that counted. The only one. As you may remember, 2 days later, the U.S. won the gold medal, beating Finland 4-2. That being said, this October the 25th, the Covenant Baptist Church will be 64 years old. For some of us, we've been here through many of those years. In fact, other than the 4 years I was in college in Texas, I've been a part of the Covenant Baptist Church. We've had many good and memorable events and memories. Sadly, there have been things we wish had never happened. Question: how will the Covenant Baptist Church be remembered? How will it be remembered? How will you be remembered as part of the Covenant Baptist Church? We have said this on many occasions. What is the mission of the church? It's in your bulletin. The mission of the church is missions. Missions. May I say this, that the world needs more gospel preaching churches. The United States needs more gospel preaching churches. The state of Michigan needs more gospel preaching churches. What we need is to keep our eyes on the Lord. Is the church important to the Lord? Did the Lord die for the church? He did. Let me ask you this. Is the Covenant Baptist Church more important to the Lord than the Sterling Heights Library? Is it? Is the Covenant Baptist Church more important than the Olympic team that won the gold medal in 1980? It is. And you have the privilege of being a part of a gospel-preaching, gospel-sending forth church. You realize what the privilege is of that? There are lots of churches in Sterling Heights, Utica, Troy, Clinton Township, the other surrounding areas. There are lots of religions, lots of churches. But how many of them are sending forth the gospel message? How many of them today are more interested in entertaining than preaching the word? And that's sad. Because entertainment will not get you into heaven. The preaching of the word is. That men need to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's important. As we have our mission conference this week, pray therefore. I hope that you have been praying for the mission conference. I hope that you are praying for those who are coming to be here. Yesterday I received a text from Al Stone. He lives in Ontario, Canada. He is now the representative of the Bearing Precious Seed Canada. And I received a text from him, and he asked me if we were still having the meeting. And I said yes. And then he sent me a text about something from the Canadian government, and my phone being what it is, I received what he sent, but it was too small for me to read it. So I sent him a text. And I said, well, what's the gist of this? And then he told me that, well, if he came from Canada and he wanted to go back, he'd have to be in quarantine for 14 days. So guess who's not coming to our mission conference? Al Stone. Why he didn't just call me instead of 8 texts back and forth? I don't know. Don't you think it'd been simpler if he just would have called me? Don't you think? Why did he have to? I mean, he took up all the space on my phone. Now I have to delete all these things. I don't understand the mindset of some people. New age, I don't know. I do use an ATM machine, though. And I paid $1.75 for gas at Costco this morning. $1.75. Just thought I'd throw you, because I know how to use their card, too. Okay? But let me say this on a serious note. The mission conference starts Wednesday. Is it just so that you get to meet some missionaries? Yes and no. Yes, it's so you can meet some missionaries, but it's so that you can see their burden. That you can feel the fact that they have a burden for these people wherever they're going. Gage Gilbert going to Greenland, and Brother Valerino going to the Dominican Republic, etc. We have one family that's coming. You may notice in the bulletin it just says their first names. Doesn't say their last name. That's not an accident. It's because where they're going, they don't want that government to know they're coming. Okay? How would you like to go someplace where you're going to have to go in almost secretly? Do they need the gospel there? Or should we say, well, the government has said no. So we need to pray for them. We need to know about them. And maybe our church will even take them on for support. This is a very important week in our church. And I want you to be part of it. You say, are you trying to lay a guilt trip on us? Is it working? I'll be honest with you. Don't you like to share good things with people? Don't you? I'm wanting to share a good thing with you. I really do. Not only that, I want you to come out to greet the missionaries and get the treats. That was a joke, folks. Yes. In conclusion, will the Lord be able to say about you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? For many, the winning of the gold medal in 1980 is really no big deal. But unfortunately, for many, the mission of the church is no big deal. But for our Lord, who died for the church, it is a very big deal. Matthew 20:16 says, so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. As we stand together for our time of invitation, and as you see, Pastor Stephen has gone over to teach the junior church. I'll be leading you in the song 375, Just As I Am. I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things. But I want you to pray for the United States of America. I want you to pray that during this time, that God can be blessed and honored through this time. But also I want you to pray for the mission conference. You can do it right where you're at. You can come to the altar. So we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your blessing upon this invitation time. Lord, we ask that your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.